The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I'm just being a smartass.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll talk with Mick Schaefer coming up at 1 o'clock. Apparently, there's a new segment we're going to unveil today.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were doing that.
Hour. Yeah, so did I. I was going to ask you how we do that. So, looking forward to this first segment being completely unprepared.
Which will be so weird for all of the rest of us. I was going to say so weird for you, but that's not fair. You're very prepared.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Doesn't translate to the radio, but I do like to... You know, you never stop... This is what I told Dylan, the intern. Dylan and Jack, you never stop preparing. The show starts.
Yeah, I think that's kind of that's a very interesting way. So this is something that I want us to be able to do every once in a while. You know, have a little space to like stretch out and try to figure out each other's game a little bit, because we've been around each other and we've been hearing each other over the years. But you know, kind of figuring out how we're going to work together is always a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that very much. Again, you come through with everything you could ever need for like every point you bring to the table. You just need an editor.
That's right. Yeah. I need you to shave the 2,000 word down to 500 words.
And everybody does.
But I've got 4 hours, so it's like, you know.
Right.
In radio, that 500 words should go up to 2,000.
You like need to stretch sometimes.
Like, here's the thing. If I'm writing a column.
Yeah.
Now it's 10:05.
Right.
So what are you going to do till 2? Because you just used 5 minutes. You got a lot more columns to write before the show is over.
Absolutely. But you, everybody needs an editor. That was my take on like the last several Drake albums. Drake needs an editor. He's one of the most rich, famous, and powerful people in the entertainment world. And Drake needs somebody to just be like, hey man, what if you just shorten this or that up? And I think sometimes I have too much editor brain.
Yeah.
And I say, hey, we've got the core stuff that we need here. We're good. And I think that might work out.
Yeah. If you want to get used to my game, fast break, I'm fading out to the 3-point line.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the wing. Do not lead me to the hole.
Right.
I'm going to fade to the wing.
Okay, that's
just
good.
Just know that. I'm going to be Klay Thompson here.
Yeah, we'll work to get you the shot. Beards, where's your role in this? If we're spreading the court, we had a fast break here, 3v3.
Briscoe's got the ball. Bring it up in the middle. We've got to fill the lane, so where are you at?
Jason's drifting to the corner, and then Beards turns around to play defense against me.
I'm going to the wing. I'm not drifting to the corner. I'm just going to the wing. Depending. Now, if I've got a defender and you start driving to the basket, then I will slide down like I'm taught to the corner.
Of course.
So you'll have to look for me there. Beards, what are you doing?
Probably on the bench.
Okay, very good. Watching, cheering?
No. On Reddit. He's on Reddit.
He's on sad fans on Reddit.
He's scrolling through Reddit.
Sad bench players on Reddit. He's going to bring to the table with that one.
Looking for material.
Yes. So the Broncos were sold.
They were.
Another text comes in right along the lines that you went with they can't sell the Broncos. Patrick Mahomes has not signed off on the transaction.
Patrick Mahomes, people are saying that he might be the first athlete billionaire. Now, I think ultimately Tiger Woods is ahead of him on that. Yeah. I think LeBron is maybe already there.
I think you already got there.
Brady's certainly going to push on that. But Mahomes, depending on where your math is, Mahomes might be the first billionaire. He could have become the first five-time over billionaire yesterday if the NFL would have acknowledged his true ownership.
Text says, Beards is the coach calling timeouts every 30 seconds.
That's good.
Timeout. No, we need to stop. Guys, we need a break.
Wow.
You guys are tired. Break. Come on over here. Let's get a break in.
And the tip, controlled by Team Zone. And, whoop, whistle, timeout. Timeout, Coach Beards. Not Coach Beard. That would be, have you considered suing Ted Lasso for stealing your bit? They have a Coach Beards.
I could sue Apple.
I feel like you should sue Apple.
By the way,
that would go well.
I want to read a couple of the other texts from the same texter that sent in about Beards with calling a timeout every 30 seconds, because there are some texters that are just pretty good.
You're paying attention. You get the show within the show sometimes.
It's not a volume texter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been 7 or 4 texts in the last month or so. I do a Jason impression, but I can't talk for 30 minutes without breathing.
It's one of the things that makes Jason an exceptional talent. It's like being double jointed.
The lady that had the Sam McDowell sign, that trade Sam McDowell, keep Whit Merrifield.
Yeah.
He texted in and said, Mellinger gave her that sign. Yeah, it's a good texter. In fact, if that texter would like to go to the 100-year celebration tomorrow night,
just
go ahead and send in your information.
Yeah, I think.
Email.
Well deserved.
Send in your phone number. Oh, wait. Text line has it. But your name. Because that's just going to be simply you want it on merit alone.
I've got Mellinger now, like, standing at the front gate, just kind of waiting around, and then this lady comes in, they make eye contact, he, like, nods and comes over, like, she hands it under the fence, he, like, shoves it up in his shirt, you know, and kind of smuggles it in, trying not to alert anybody, and then all of a sudden, boom, sign of the year.
913-912-4810. So, the Broncos were sold, or bought, whatever way you want to call it. Rob Walton was at the podium.
Yeah.
During the intro, and
Walmart is the Walmart or Walton. That is where all this money comes from. It's from the Wall.
I thought it was Wahlburger.
It's a common mistake. Also unrelated to Walgreens. Not the Walgreens family.
Okay, so that's interesting. Yeah. So Rob Walton, the now Broncos owner, gets to the podium and starts thanking people, including whoever this fella is.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Goodell.
Roger Goodell.
Was that the lady who did all the chimp studies? Jane Goodell?
I'm not sure.
I don't think that's right.
You just bought a team in the NFL. You're an owner. And you're such a huge football fan that the commissioner is Roger Goodell.
I would learn his name for $5 billion.
Now, this is coming from somebody who gets names wrong all the time, but I promise you this, when I got the job here, I didn't call him Chad Booger.
In fairness, it would be like him, it would almost be more like Chad calling you James Anderson.
James Anderson?
Because really, Mr. Goodell, you know, he works for the owner, but you'd really like everybody in that situation to know the other person's name. That's a really tough look.
There are some names that you would need to know when you go to the podium and say, you know, this is very exciting to be one of the now 32 owners in the National Football League, and would love to thank Commissioner Roger Goodell. Wade Jones.
It can't. If you are Rob Walton, you can't. The two things you can't get wrong are Roger Goodell and like Bob Elway. You can't call him Bob Elway.
Can't call him John Elway.
You can't. It can't be Mr. Elway. You've gotta practice that one in the mirror first. Even billionaires need editors. This is my continuing life philosophy.
Everybody needs an editor.
Everybody needs an editor.
See, Corey needed a filter, but you're saying everybody else needs an editor.
An editor can help you filter. Everyone needs it for different reasons, different ways. Drake needs somebody to cut like five songs out of each of his last several albums. Mr. Walton needs one to just sort of give some feedback directorially.
Roger Goodell. So Roger Goodell was around some other owners yesterday, and he has now weighed in for the first time on the NFL announcing that they will appeal, and it's going to be heard by someone that has worked closely with the NFL for a while. Here's Roger Goodell on why the NFL has decided to appeal the length of the suspension for Deshaun Watson.
We've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
So Judge Robinson gave out the suspension, but as we've talked about, she found in favor of the NFL. Which cannot then be appealed or disputed. Those are the facts of the case. What she found, it's just a matter of what the penalty structure is going to be. Pro Football Network this morning put out a report that the expectation is, and I forget the guy's name who is now going to be hearing the appeal for the NFL, who was designated by Roger Goodell to do this, who has worked with the NFL, who worked with the NFL on the Ezekiel Elliott appeal.
Peter C. Harvey is the designee.
Yes, that's right. Peter C. Harvey. And Pro Football Network had a report that, and this is not like groundbreaking, but it was the expectation is that the suspension is going to be substantial for Deshaun Watson. And one of the people that they talked to pointed to Peter C. Harvey's history and background of fighting domestic violence and sexual assault allegations, physical or violent and nonviolent, that his work throughout the years of his career of prosecuting those. So if there were somebody, and maybe that's why Roger Goodell designated him, mm-hmm. is that this may be something that he has spent a life's work going after and prosecuting those that have, and he has a lot of history with it, obviously, with doing that in his career, that he would then say, this is the guy we're going to put in charge, because if there's somebody that understands what went on, what Judge Sue Robinson found to have taken place, and understanding how to put that into context, it would be this person who a good portion of his professional career was dealing with such things.
I think you've done a good job of highlights.
Let's go ahead and take a break.
Let's go ahead and take a break.
Done
Jason did a good job.
All right.
I think you've done a good job with this, but I'm going to keep reiterating it every time we come around to this because I think it's an important part that a lot of people have kind of missed the details on. There is no appeal or even appeal process agreed upon for if the NFL, if either side was unhappy with the ruling of the conduct violation that happened.
Yeah.
Those are the facts. What is collectively bargained is the NFL says, we see what she found. We understand that that is just what it is. That's locked into place.
Mm-hmm.
We are appealing specifically the suspension and what we think should be recommended there. I don't know if you want to play the ESPN Daily clip from a couple days ago. It just does a pretty good job. Emily Kaplan's filling in on ESPN Daily for Pablo Torre right now. And Jake Trotter, Browns reporter for ESPN, was on the show a few days back. And I thought they did a pretty good job here of kind of summarizing some of those finer points.
But this is collectively bargained, so the NFLPA agreed to this new process too. How would you say it's all going out from their perspective?
Well, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people this week who maybe weren't that familiar with this part of the CBA, who are wondering why the NFLPA would agree to this particular appeals process. Because through Sue Robinson's finding, you know, both sides were operating on equal ground to a degree. You know, the NFLPA was able to make its case before a disciplinary officer that it had its say in appointing. The NFL, likewise, was able to make its case before a disciplinary officer that it had a say in appointing. But that's where the NFLPA loses a lot of its power in this process. And for whatever reason, the Players Association agreed to this process where basically, if there's any violation found, the NFL can really take over. They have the right to appeal, and then they get to choose who hears the appeal. You know, you wonder next time a CBA is negotiated that this will be a point of contention. But for the time being, this is the way this process is going to go. And it gives the NFL a lot of leverage once a personal conduct policy violation is found.
So a couple of things to that point of, because that's been brought up a lot, is why would the players agree to this? Because then it can just go to Roger Goodell and he can then do whatever penalty he wants. The point that was made there is about the findings of fact, that they are doing this with an independent arbiter of saying she's going to hear the case and she is not working with the NFL to hear the case, where Roger Goodell would hear the case and then have his findings, or the investigation and have his findings, and then the appeal would then be Roger Goodell, and then it would go to court. In this case, at least now with the new process, there is an independent arbiter that does not work for the union or the NFL, that what she finds to be the investigation and ruling cannot then be appealed. She or he, whoever it is, cannot then be appealed. You can only appeal the suspension length based on the CBA, based on recommendations, based on precedent, all of those things. But once she found in favor of the NFL with all four of those cases, predatory behavior, egregious behavior, unprecedented findings that she ruled on, those are now indisputed
right
in the eyes of the court. indisputed, they cannot be appealed. So, because if she would have found in favor of Deshaun Watson, the NFL then also could not appeal those findings.
Right.
And so, therefore, Deshaun Watson would have a stronger case if he were to go and sue if the NFL wanted to extend the suspension to a year. And it was like, well, actually, she found in favor of Deshaun Watson. Then if you go to a court of law, they would have a better chance of winning. The other part of this, too, is the NFL players in this negotiation, it's a give and take. Mm-hmm. And so to get from the process it was to then get to this process, there are some things you have to give up along the way in a negotiation. The next CBA negotiation might eliminate Roger Goodell in the appeals process altogether.
Sure.
So you fight for that. If you were to fight for it all happening in one fell swoop in the new CBA, you might have to give up something more substantial than you would if you do it over two different CBA negotiations.
They'd be playing 25 regular season games.
Yeah, right. I mean, what's the wheels of justice turn slowly?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
So the wheels of NFL Players Association feeling like there is justice served in how the cases are handled by the NFL league office, it's going to turn slowly from Roger Goodell being judge, jury, and executioner to now there is a middleman / woman that can rule on it, that her findings are fact, to then maybe next CBA, the appeal goes to a different arbiter and will hear that appeal process that Roger Goodell and the NFL will not be involved in any way, shape, or form. That might be the next step.
Well, and the other thing about this is kind of wild is that this is the first time using this process. If this was something less than Deshaun Watson's accusations and profile and context, we'd be talking about it a whole lot less and a whole lot differently. And I'm not going to try to give an example of a quote unquote lesser personal conduct violation, because if you're in that category, it's all bad news. Mm-hmm. But the specifics of truly unprecedented scope in the number of accusers, not, and also those are not all being taken account of in Robinson's ruling. It's only the four there. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't the scope of all the accusations, if it wasn't a quarterback, and if it wasn't a quarterback who had just been traded for the best contract in the history of the sport at any level, we would still all be framed differently. Mm-hmm. But so I wonder if the NFLPA behind closed doors is actually unhappy with the process, because if this happens with a lower profile player, the NFL probably isn't working quite as hard to say, hey, we got to make sure that this is an absolute example from here on out. You cannot have this be you cannot have this be an example of this new process and the league being weak on sexual violence against women. Like that is not a stance the NFL can abide by, which is why you're going to see them come out with their teeth, I believe, in this process of trying to get that year. We talked about Dan Lust. Maybe it's 17 games, mm-hmm. or maybe it's, if there's a definitive reinstatement date, Deshaun Watson should probably take it. You know what I mean? If he doesn't have to reapply for reinstatement,
right?
It's that still might work out okay from Deshaun Watson's perspective. Not that anybody should be rooting for Deshaun Watson to come out of this happy, but from his camp side.
Yeah, his camp has already played it wrong. Because there was an agreement on the table, or at least an offer on the table from the NFL to have a 12-game suspension and not have Judge Sue Robinson hear the case. It was before that. We're offering 12 games right now. Deshaun Watson's camp said we want zero. And they're like, well, that's obviously not going to happen. We don't believe we did anything wrong. We've denied it. We've been settling all these civil cases while denying everything. We don't want even one game suspension. We're offering 12. You understand we're going for a year and you having to apply for reinstatement. And oh, by the way, if added things come out from now until reinstatement, that might impact next year. We're offering you 12 and then it's over. And then we move on from this. And he said, no. Well, that was a mistake. That was clearly not reading the tea leaves in that Judge Sue Robinson found in favor of the NFL. And now it looks like it's going to be a year plus. Now, one other sidebar is that if, let's say, the appeal, you know, it's supposed to be expedited, but like tomorrow there's new allegations against Deshaun Watson, that cannot be included in the appeal.
Right.
You cannot include any new information or any new allegations to the appeal. So it doesn't matter what happens from now until the appeal is ruled upon. And the punishment is then handed down if it's staying at six games or it's elevated to 10 or 12 or an entire season with, you know, a having to apply for reinstatement and the expectation, at least some saying there might be a substantial fine of anywhere up to $10 million, which is substantial, maybe not in the grand scheme of things of his $250 million and that he's making 46, 47 this year. So if he's fined $10 million, then that, you know, so a lot of people have had it a lot tougher penalties out there.
It sounds like a ton of money. And then you did the math in terms of like, hey, make that a percentage of your salary. That's it's going to be a lot of money to everybody. But $10 million to Deshaun Watson is not $100,000 to me.
Look, if he's
any of us.
If he's making 40 this year and he's fined $10 million, losing a quarter of your salary for a year is substantial.
Especially if you unless need every you one make, of those paychecks. Right.
And, unless you're making $40 million, then losing 25% of your salary isn't as substantial as if you're making 50 thousand, not 50 million. We'll see what that fine is going to be. But that's why the NFL wants to have him apply for reinstatement.
Exactly.
Is because they don't want this to then go on. The suspension is served six games. He comes back. Other things come out and they go through the process all over again. They have now new arbiter, new NFL v. Deshaun Watson case, new, all of those things. Anything else comes out? Now we might just deny your reinstatement.
So the reinstatement thing in general, I think sometimes can come off as the NFL being kind of just like punitive to be like, and maybe we won't even let you back in the club. It's kind of like maybe Brady Singer will stay in Omaha. It's like, come on, like that's not. But in like so Calvin Ridley's suspension, he is eligible to be reinstated in on February 15th, 2023. My reading on that the first time was being kind of punitive to be kind of punitive, whatever. But in reality, the NFL could make the argument to say, hey, we just want to, as long as he doesn't have another gambling thing come up by then, he's back in on February 16th and well, Atlanta Falcon once more, whatever, whatever. So the same could be said for Watson, where it's, hey, you have to apply for reinstatement. That's not us rejudging you again or relitigating this case again. It's protecting ourselves in case somebody else comes forward in the next 12 months and says, hey, let me add on to this. Or imagine he did it again, or he violates the terms that Judge Robinson put down of he only can have team issued massage therapists. If he breaks one of those rules set in place or a law, some people would call some of those. If he breaks a law or breaks one of the NFL's rules, it's easier to keep him out than resuspend him, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So the reinstatement is not just if something else comes out. It's also there are certain markers he has to meet along the way to show that, you know, if you're on probation, to show that you're doing the things you're supposed to be doing when you're meeting with your probation officer along the way before you are then, okay, now you are free and clear, no longer having to meet every whatever it is for that. For Deshaun Watson, just as Josh Gordon had to do certain things to then apply for reinstatement when, you know, he had the drug offense, rehab, had passed this many drug tests, had to do, you know, A, B, and C. Then he could apply for reinstatement and present his case that, hey, this is what you wanted me to do. Here is the evidence, documentation that I have done, A, B, C, and D. I would like to be reinstated. For Deshaun Watson, it's probably you cannot have, I mean, obviously the penalty of not being able to have a massage therapist outside of team issued. There is an expectation that the appeal will also hand down some form of therapy for Deshaun Watson to go through. That would have to then be documented for him to, if in fact the penalty is as severe as people expect it to be, and he then has to apply for reinstatement. Then that would be showing documentation that those things have also been done as well along the way. You must do those things to then apply for reinstatement. If you're suspended 10 games, and it's like, hey, we need you to do, you know, therapy and only the massage with the team. Well, 10 games go by and now it's like, well, you don't have to do those things anymore because now you have been you don't have to apply for reinstatement. That case is now you've served your suspension for that. Anything else is going to be on top of that, and they're not going to suspend me more games because I missed a therapy session.
Right.
But they might not reinstate me if I do. And that's really the teeth, if you want to call it that, from the NFL of saying, no, she said it's predatory behavior. And if it's predatory behavior, is there a way that we can have this and feel like he's being suspended, serving a punishment for the things that he is found to have done by the independent arbitrator? And then is there a way then to maybe make sure he gets help?
Right.
Just as with the drug problems, here's rehab and things like that that you have to go through.
For someone who has publicly maintained that he does not have a problem of any sort.
Right.
Worth noting.
Yes. The guy who was stumbling down the sidewalk saying, I don't even drink. Don't know what you're talking about. So, I mean, we'll see what Roger Goodell and but it's expected
to
be.
I forgot that we started this segment. We had a lot of chuckles and it got really serious
again.
Back around. I forget some
chuckled. It's like a it's not a compliment sandwich. It's a chuckle sandwich. Some ha-has, some seriousness, and then some ha-has, and then you go to break. But it is expected.
Beards would like it if you would go to break.
Yeah, it's supposed to be expedited.
Right.
So, what does expedited mean? We'll find out. You know, is it going to be by the third preseason game?
Less than a month. Has to be before, because it has to be before that Thursday night football game. They cannot be playing regular season NFL football and not have this resolved. They might, but they can't.
Now, mind you, Ezekiel Elliott sued the NFL before the appeal ruling came out. So when the NFL was appealing, or while Ezekiel, whoever was appealing in that one, while the appeal hearing was still being gathered information and all this stuff to then hear that, they had already sued the NFL. So that took place before they even got the answer in the appeal. Because at that point it was like, well, Roger Goodell's on hearing the appeal. We might as well start the process to make sure we get it in the court of law we want to, which is one of the points that's been brought up is, does this thing end up in New York or Delaware? Because Judge Sue Robinson has a lot of friends in Delaware where she has spent most of her career, and they may be more partial to side with her, having a relationship with her. Whereas the NFL really likes to work in the Southern District of New York because they've won a lot of their cases there. So if it's Deshaun Watson filing suit early, they can try to file in Delaware. Whereas the NFL might then try to get it to New York. But, you know, we'll see. A lot of stuff going on there. We'll talk about Juan Thornhill and Danny Shelton. And other things Chiefs related coming up next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Don't dab babies, okay?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Uh, 913-912-4810. Also, tweet the show at J810Anderson. Thomas says, Red Dawn is more similar to A, Top Gun, B, Point Break, C, Speed.
I haven't seen Speed. I've seen all of the other three.
And says that because apparently a tweet that came out that Red Dawn debuted in theaters today in 1984.
Oh, really?
Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, C. Thomas Howell. I believe Red Dawn is the first ever PG-13 movie.
Didn't know that.
I believe Red Dawn is the first ever PG because it was Indiana Jones.
I was going to say Temple of Doom is the one Temple that basically of Doom started the PG.
Is when people were like, how is this PG? And I think Red Dawn was the first one that actually was used as a PG-13 movie. Because back in the day,
Google says Red Dawn.
Okay, awesome. Cuz back in the day, cuz Ghostbusters, I didn't realize this until like a year ago. Because I was watching Ghostbusters last Halloween, realizing and looking that it's PG, the first Ghostbusters. Now, they say the D word.
Whoa.
He is intimate with a ghost. They are miming actions that would take place in Mick's cul-de-sac on a Friday night, but with a ghost. And it's PG. And there are curse words. I'm like, how is this PG? Then I find out, because they didn't have PG-13.
I not only have I seen the first Red Dawn, which is a lot of fun. I've
seen the second one.
I did see the remake in theaters.
Refused.
Poof!
I refused.
It stinks.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not every remake stinks guy. I'm not every sequel stinks. It stinks. It's a waste of time. Yeah,
Top Gun Maverick
was great.
It was awesome.
The Red Dawn remake is horrible.
Yep, I never saw it. Never will see it.
Don't worry about it. Not missing anything.
Never, ever, ever.
Not fun, bad either. Just bland. Just empty calories.
Bad meaning bad, not bad meaning good.
Yeah, not even bad meaning fun or entertaining. Just bad.
Yeah. Not like Sharknado bad.
Right. I actually haven't seen Sharknado, but I presume that's the right
one. Oh, I've seen the first two.
Oh, it's amazing.
Really?
Okay. Now, the real question is, have you seen Sharktopus? Half shark, half octopus, all killer.
I didn't know if that was a character from a Bond with Sean Connery. It's Sharktopus. It's coming right at me.
So, I think it had Eric Roberts in it. It was like a sci-fi movie. It's terrible, but amazing.
I have not seen any of the Sharknado movies. I don't believe Jason has seen Sharktopus based off his reaction to hearing the word Sharktopus.
I am hoping that Juan Thornhill is like a Sharknado.
Oh, wow. That segue is so good that I'm putting my squirrel notes away. I'm not going to let you forget that. I have squirrel information. I have information that could lead to the arrest of your squirrels in the backyard. That can be a... This Thornhill audio is interesting. I just want to... I'm going to keep reminding you. I do have squirrel content for you at some point before 2 o'clock today.
Awesome. Okay. We will get to that.
I'm good with it.
Believe me.
Would love to hear from Juan Thornhill also.
I am going to figure out... there have been a lot of suggestions that include... firing a weapon in a neighborhood, which I don't want to do.
Yeah, not ideal, I would say. I have some bullet-free options for you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Juan Thornhill can move like a bullet from time. I mean, I just got to stop with it. Let's get into the Chiefs. They are off today, but Juan Thornhill talked a couple days ago, and he weighs in on the health and how he's feeling right now going into year number 4 for one Juan Thornhill.
I feel better today than I did 2 months ago. So, like, I'm still, like, just getting better and better each and every week. And I could definitely say it's a huge difference. Like, last year, I was still thinking about it. I still had pain in the knee. And now I'm just out there playing football with no pain, not even thinking about it. So that allows me to make more plays. If I'm reading concepts instead of thinking about my knee, I'm going to make more plays naturally. So I feel a lot better for sure.
It's really disappointing because injuries in any sport suck. Mm-hmm. Like I've said, I just simply want to see the best teams injury-free out on the field and see who the best teams are on that day, right? I don't want it to be to where, well, this team lost their best player right before this game, and boy, what a huge difference he would have made. Injuries happen. I know that. It's attrition. They all suck. I would not have guessed, and I would have been floored, if you told me that when Juan Thornhill was laying on the field against the Chargers in the last game of the season in 2019, that in 2022 of August is when you would go, he's now feeling fully healthy again.
And this, I have weirdly vivid memories at every step of this, partially because last year I was at training camp for that first day of rookies and the injured veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And Thornhill talked. And he played in 16 games in 2020.
Yeah, so the next year.
The next season, and he didn't start a bunch of those games. There's kind of the thought of where is his knee at? But he said he felt pretty good. He was out there. He looked pretty good, but a little slower.
But also, there was the reports that came out later in the year that he did come back too early, and that's why his playing time decreased, because the knee was not responding throughout the course of a season.
And then last year, he gets out there at camp, and all the questions are, hey, those what you just mentioned were all issues last year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel now? And he says, I feel great. I'm good. I'm ready to go. Leadership role out here with the rookies, all of that. And then this weekend, I think, is when you probably got the most honest answer from Juan Thornhill. When you're not thinking about the pain in your knee,
mm-hmm.
you're reading everything in front of you, you are just making plays. He said he feels better now than he did, 2 months ago, he said there? I think he's at a place now where in 2020, he was playing through it. And in 2021... He was, in 2020, he was playing in spite of it. In 2021, he was playing through it. Maybe in 2022, we're actually seeing healthy Juan Thornhill mentally and physically for the first time since the end of his rookie year.
Because I think you could the way you described it is a good one. So 2020, he was playing in spite of it. And 2021, playing through it, but with the injury in the back of his mind.
Right. That is a long process for a variety of levels.
And so this year, hopefully that's the case. He said he's going to have an all-pro year. He was asked, why is this going to be a career year for you?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I feel like the past year I just wasn't as confident like in my ability because of the fact that I was struggling with the knee. So I would say that the knee is healthier. I have more mental clarity. Like I feel better like all around. I just feel like that I'm back to myself and I'm capable of having that all preseason. So I'm definitely here to back up whatever I said and I'm not taking that back.
It just, I mean, looking back at the time when leading into that 2019 season and it was, this is a guy that, it's going to be the best, could be one of the best safety tandems in football with Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu. I remember Lewis Reddick tweeting that out in training camp that Juan Thornhill is a player and you add him in with Tyrann Mathieu, that Mathieu and Thornhill is going to be one of the better safety tandems in the NFL. And it was pretty awesome throughout the season.
Yeah.
And I just would not have, in today's advancements in medicine and ACLs and things like that. I mean, Cam Akers came back from an Achilles as soon as he did. That just your, and I'm using this in today's standards, which, you know, 30 years ago, it would have been blasphemous. Your run of the mill ACL.
Right.
You know, right. 30 years ago, career ender. This one, you're out 10 months. Get back out there, guy. Walk it off, you know, after the surgery. Your run of the mill ACL. And I do wonder if going back to 2020, if they would have just said, we'll see you halfway through. We'll put you on the pup list. We'll see you in week 10 or 11 or 12.
Hard and to do on a run it back campaign.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and not, he's good to go. It's Juan Thornhill. He's good. He's healthy. Let's put him out there. He says he's healthy. Let's go. If he would have known what the next 2 years would be like trying to maybe save or get out there 10 weeks earlier in football, I doubt he would have made the same decision, would have taken it slower, because the beginning of the season and then towards the end when it was like, the knee is not holding up through the rigors of the course of the season, and he probably pushed it a little bit too much to come back, and that is an entire season to where you're not rehabbing and you're putting more wear and tear and stress on that knee as opposed to just simply saying you're fully healthy and ready to go. But you're right. The run it back tour, I want to get out. I didn't get to play in the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
No kidding.
I need to go out and play.
That would have been really hard.
Understandable.
There is one word in that second clip there that if it was a little different, it would totally change the meaning. But I like that what he said. That he was not as confident, not in his knee, but because of his knee, which I think is another step of, I don't know that I can go make that play because I'm not moving like I was in 2019. They're all of a sudden, and that's something that I think you probably would you'd get if veterans were more honest as their careers go on, as they wear down a little bit, where you would say, my mental confidence in my abilities had to decline with my physical abilities because I'm seeing myself on tape. I'm not getting where I used to be.
Yeah.
The gift for Thornhill here is that entering his age 27 season, He'll turn 27 in a couple months, it looks like. In his age 27 season, he might legitimately be in the best place physically that he's been at least since his rookie year, and mentally, absolutely the best place he's been in his NFL career. Being an all-pro as a safety when there's another guy across from you who's a bigger name right now, Justin Reed's a bigger name, I think, nationally by a little bit, that's hard. But his standard of play could dictate that he belongs there.
But you also look in the mirror and know the Chiefs drafted a safety in the second round because you're a free agent.
Yeah,
this is your contract year. Justin Reed's got multiple years. You have your last year, and they just took a safety in the second round.
If they let Juan Thornhill walk, I'm gonna be pretty bummed. I think I honestly hadn't even given it much thought.
If Brian Cook goes out there and balls out, and you're like, and let's say they both go out there and have awesome seasons,
sure.
And then you're saying, well, this guy's gonna be getting Poyer or Jesse Bates, probably not that money, but he's going to get a pretty substantial raise than what he's getting now. Or you slide in second round safety at second round salary cap money, and you don't pay for Juan Thornhill. So we'll see what happens coming up this year. Mick Schaefer comes up at 1 o'clock. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling more Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Nice job, Josh.
Nice job, Dylan.
Nice job, Christopher. Way to go, Beards.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Text says, I think the Clarks are best friends with Commissioner Goodell.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They all hang out.
Another text comes in. We were talking about Top Gun and the different movies that are just like Top Gun if you take everything away from Top Gun. Says there was an old movie called Iron Eagle, which was a knockoff of Top Gun. I loved Iron Eagle.
He's one of my favorite play-by-play guys, too.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
No, I mean, he's pretty good. I didn't say that was pretty good. I said Iron Eagle's pretty good.
I heard what I wanted to hear.
Josh, do you think he was like, named after Iron Eagle?
I think he was, yeah.
Mr. Eagle. Another tweet came in as well that said that showed a picture of a kangaroo. And said, look at the size of that rat.
You ever seen a capybara? Big rat!
Never heard of it, man.
Never heard of a capybara?
No. Heard of Mick Schaefer. He's next. Another big